So, ladies, do you want to record a podcast?
I guess so.
Yay!
Sure.
So, this is Super Ladies number 29?
If you say so.
I know, you're like, oh, fucking no. I'm actually going to check
that. I trust you.
No, it's number 30! This is number
30. Okay, it's 30!
Which seems like some sort of milestone. It's a milestone. So, this is going to be a super special Super Ladies. Because we have all kinds of guests. So, y'all already know Shelby.
Yay, that's me.
And y'all already know Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, you want to talk?
I was on Super Ladies number 16.
Holy shit, that was so long ago now.
I know. Wow. So I'm so excited to be back, yay.
And we have
because I didn't get to be on that one, so, because, boo.
I know. Shelby's trying new ways to get around the South Georgian internet. That's why.
Yes.
She sounds a little different.
Yeah, that's why this is working. Yeah, that's why this is working. Or not working. I don't know if this is working at all.
Yeah, we can hear you, so that's better than last time. And we have a brand new Super Lady.
Is that me? Am I the new Super Lady?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll try to stop saying Super Latte. Well, I'm Chris, the new Super Lady.
Yay!
And Chris is a longtime friend of ours. Oh, Shelby's icon just changed. She just became Wonder Woman. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Chris is a longtime friend of ours, and so she went to join tonight so that we could have a wonderful podcast.
Thank you. I'm a longtime listener, first time caller.
Yay.
Yeah, this podcast will probably be like 90% giggling, but
yeah,
we'll get over that. So. We'll get over that just in time for our third guest to join. It'll be the fourth person on the screen I'm looking at, but Shelby doesn't count.
So, no.
Yeah. So we all got together to talk about Wonder Woman.
Oh, fucking Wonder Woman. So great.
What is this Wonder Woman that you speak of? I have not heard anything about it.
It's a low budget, a little indie film.
Yeah, it's not really under the radar. Well. I heard it's a dud at the box office.
It's a legit. It's a legit chick flick.
It's a lesbian chick flick. It's about an island filled with lesbians. Yes.
They have absolutely no use for men at all.
None.
That part was amazing. Especially when they're in the boat and they're talking about, really besides procreation, they're just completely unnecessary.
Not needed at all.
That was excellent. I not to jump ahead because I know we should start from the very, very beginning, but that banter in the boat was so well done. Just so brilliant. I loved every second of it.
So
before we go all woman powerful, Chris Pine is really good in this movie.
He is really good. I'm not a Chris Pine fan, like a fangirl of Chris Pine, but he stole my heart in this movie. He did.
Yeah, he was kind of worried about how were they going to handle the male lead, especially when, the female lead is a superhero. I was thinking, are they going to make him, like her equal? Is he going to empower her, or is he going to, they're going to really downplay it? But it was just so well balanced that, I'm just so completely impressed with how they pulled that off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but yeah.
I didn't want to talk over anybody.
Well, and that's, I'll delete like long silences. For however, because four people on a podcast gets hard.
Yeah. And I don't want to, yammer on too much, but I could seriously go on and on about this movie. I loved it. I really, really wanted to try to see it a second time, especially before tonight, but I just couldn't get it done. But I'd love to see it again, especially at the theater. But,
yeah. I want to go see it again. I want to go see it three times.
That's so unlike you, Shelby. I'm shocked.
I know, right? No, but it is weird because I do see movies multiple times, but this is the only movie that I can remember, and I'm sure there has been something else, but like since Titanic that I have went to see multiple times, that I've went back to the movies to see something.
So,
yeah, I don't know the last time I actually went to the movies to re-watch something. But you're right. And you know what else I noticed about this movie? Unlike, I think, any other superhero movie that I've ever seen, I actually found myself thinking about it later on in the week. But I mean, other movies you walk out and it's never thought of again. It's just completely, you know, in the garbage pile in your brain. But this one, I was processing it. I was thinking about it. I was re-laughing at the funny parts. And yeah, I was like, oh, that's unusual. I mean, really, they made quite a, I don't know, like a layered movie there.
Yeah. And there were parts that right now I can't go back and think about without crying. I'll tear up. I'll get emotional. I'll cry.
Well, I have to know what they are. What are your sad parts?
Well, it's not sad. It's just, it just gives me feels like No Man's Land. That, oh my God.
Yes. Scene. Oh my gosh. I was just thinking about that today. And the music. Oh, I just watched this special about the making of the music. Oh my God. It was so stirring. When she climbs up that ladder out of that ditch, I felt like I was going to fly out of my like I could take on.
Yeah.
The enemy. Like, it was just so powerfully done.
Yeah. Yeah. When he's telling her it's called No Man's Land because no man could cross it. Here this woman climbs up the ladder and she takes the fire. The woman does it. Oh!
And you know what I loved about that? It was, honestly, I never thought about the no man part until just now, but it was so true to who she was. You know, like she saw the need and she knew she was capable, whereas, you know, obviously they were not because they could be killed. But it was like she did exactly what she wanted to do. Like, it was her purpose.
Right. Yeah. She's great.
I love that. Yeah, I love that they just stayed true, because in the beginning you do think, are you really gonna find this, you know, God of War? You know, and then I mean, it's, you know, it's quite literal. But I was like, wow, they really carried that all the way through.
Yeah,
love it so much.
I know. Now I'm really dying to go see it again. Really, from like the first moment. And I mean, how much do you love Robin Wright? When I saw her, I was like, oh my God. Well, I think I told you my daughter was like, it's Princess Buttercup.
How did she even recognize? I like watched the whole movie and I was like, I recognize that person. I know I should know who this person is.
It's fucking Claire Underwood. And I was trying to figure out,
I knew she was an older version of somebody. And I mean, like, and I know her in House of Cards. I know she's Princess Buttercup. But I was just like, I cannot play. And then as soon as the credits hit, I was like, oh, it's Robin. Of course she's the badass of all badasses.
I know, I love that. And I recognize the queen immediately because I happen to, for some reason, always find Law & Order SVU on TV. And she sometimes is on there. She's like Stabler's partner, I guess, when Mariska Hargitay is off. So she stepped in and she was the partner for a little while. And I was like, what a great choice. Yeah, I was happy to see. I was so happy to see somewhat older actresses that are amazing and have not had, you know, humongous amounts of plastic surgery actually play, you know, older women.
Yeah.
So that beach. I was just gonna say the beach scene was also like fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. The fighting on the beach.
I know that shield part when then she spins around and shoots the three arrows. Like I don't know. Like, I actually said to myself, I wonder if I could do that. I mean, of course not. I can't get out of the way of the dog. But, I know. It was amazing.
So, Anne-Marie, you said you had some points that you wanted to hit on?
Yes.
So, what? Do you have one? Let's start with one.
Okay.
Or, I mean, I don't...
No,
I have Shelby. No, sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I was going to ask though, what format did you guys see the movie in? Did you see it in 3D or did you see it standard?
Oh, just standard.
Standard for me. Yeah.
3D IMAX.
How was it? Did you appreciate the 3D-ness of it?
I didn't really notice a big difference in the 3D.
Okay.
I mean, there was some. I mean, like, the big action was big action. Probably a few moments where things flew at me. it's probably the third or fourth movie I've seen in 3D IMAX.
Okay.
And the only one where it's made a big difference, or the only one that, like, I noticeably was like, this is awesome, was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, okay.
But I like, now I kind of want to see everything in 3D at least, because when I went to see Civil War, I saw it in just like 2D regular, and it felt like it was a movie made for 3D, and that I was watching it in the wrong format.
Yeah, that sometimes, you know, it's such a lame after effect that they do just to, you know, get more money out of it. But sometimes I think it's the way they shoot it, that it's shot in 3D. And you really, like, Avatar was the first movie I ever saw in 3D IMAX. And I was like, wow, that's the real deal. It's not just some after effect added in. But I didn't see Wonder Woman in 3D, but I would like to.
Anne Marie, did you see it in 3D?
No, I saw it in standard. 3D makes me crazy. I can't do 3D, but I was wondering if it was, you know, significantly different. I didn't see any downside to not seeing it in 3D, but I certainly saw moments in the movie that clearly were, you know, intended for a 3D audience.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, like arrows coming directly at you.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, in some of the fight scenes, it gave it some extra dimension. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I went
a third one.
I went on opening night.
Yeah, you did?
Third dimension. I went on opening night. Well, so I was in Newark, and I was flying out at 6 o'clock the next morning. And I had already sent my computer in to be fixed, so I didn't have my computer or anything. And I had nothing to do. So I just, like, went to the movie theater and...
In Newark,
yeah. In Elizabeth, like, there near the Newark airport. Like, seriously, like, 2 miles from the Newark airport.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a real shithole. And, like, they had... It was so fun. Like, as I'm buying my ticket, the woman's like... I'm like, so you have, like, a 7:15 Wonder Woman? Because, I don't know, for some reason, 7 was too early. Or I knew the 7 was 2D, and they had, like, a 3D and a 3D IMAX and all that, and I couldn't remember which one. And I was just like, I want the 7:15 Wonder Woman. And she's like, that's IMAX 3D. And I was like, yeah, okay. and so, like, I got in there, yeah. So it was, like, a packed theater, and, yeah, people were obnoxious and everything. Good. So I think from now on I'm going to do, like, 3D, but not IMAX 3D.
Yeah,
if I do opening night, just to get away from some of the crowd.
Yes, but sometimes the energy of the crowd is a good thing, and sometimes it's horrible. Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, I went to see Star Wars on Christmas Eve. I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago, whenever the newest one came out. Not the Rogue One, the other one. And it was, I mean, you know, it was just horrible. It was so obnoxious. People were talking through the whole thing. But, yeah, I tried to go at a time when it would be fairly empty. It went on a Tuesday morning. The kids had a day off from school. And it was still, I mean, it was pretty crowded, but there was still a lot of talking. I think I told Joanna that there was a lost old man in there that was loudly calling for his wife. Yeah. So, turning on his phone, lighting it up. So
I had Shelby behind me, but because it wasn't Shelby, like, I didn't enjoy their enthusiasm. I mean, I finally, like, halfway through the movie, I was like, just think of this person as being Shelby, and you'll have a lot of sympathy, because she just, like, from the very beginning was like, oh my god, I'm so excited! And so...
We do. We're those people. We're those people that clap through all the trailers. Yay, Thor! Yay!
You're a trailer clapper?
Yes.
That's okay. Yes. I can't stand when people keep their phones on through the trailer. Yeah. You know, like, I get it. The movie hasn't officially started yet. But, I mean, it's one thing to check your messages. Like, oh, no, did I miss an important text? But the guy in front of me, actually, this was during the movie. I saw him go to Google and look up Gal Gadot. And I was like, come on. Like, right in the middle of the movie? You know, that's not okay. You know, checking out IMDb. What's up next for her?
People are so obnoxious. They are.
I know. Now, let me ask you guys this question. Do you think there's any areas of weakness? I don't even want to say flaws, but any areas of the movie that you felt could have used a little bit more work?
Sometimes I was a little bit confused by the slow motion. moments.
Interesting. Yeah.
Like, I had to just convince myself to embrace them.
Okay.
And I haven't watched any of the other DC movies. So I don't know if this is like a theme that goes across them, if that's just like one of the styles or something. But
you've never seen a Batman movie?
Not the new one, not a Batfleck.
Really?
One.
No, I don't want to see that. Yeah. I have to say I did see his bat suit when I was out in LA, and it's quite impressive. It's very, you know, form fitted.
Was he wearing it?
No. I was at it was either at Paramount or Warner Brothers. I forget which one, but we did the studio tours, and they have a room with the costumes, and I got to see that. I got to see Harley Quinn's outfit, which, I mean, you know, is so skimpy, it's ridiculous. Hey, that's another thing I wanted to talk about, is Wonder Woman's costume and how much I appreciated that there was more coverage than there could have been. I mean, it's obviously, you know, iconic Wonder Woman, but I thought they made it tasteful. Like, it wasn't, it could have been a lot skimpier.
What did you guys think of the costume?
I thought it was perfect.
I loved it.
Yeah.
What was that, Amory?
I loved it. I thought, you know, she was able to kick ass in it, so it did its job.
I appreciated it that even though they were, like, wedge boots, I mean, like, even though it was a form of heels, it at least looked like practical wedge boots.
They weren't like ass-kicking boots.
Yeah, yeah, they weren't, like, stilettos.
I know. I was so happy about it. I mean, I saw the wedge, and you know what? That's actually something that slightly pulled me out of the movie, because I ended up thinking about her footwear. But I was like, interesting choice. I would have gone for, like, more of a gladiator sandal, perhaps. But it was okay. I deemed it okay in the middle of the movie.
When she was kicking, while she was kicking so much ass, it was okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. Yeah, like,
and I mean, so, when I first saw the costume long ago, I thought it was, I didn't like it. I was like, I can't get excited about this, like, skimpy ass woman. Like,
Interesting.
But, like, in the moment, I really liked it.
Yeah, me too. Especially because, you know, she's from this, I don't know, like, island, which I'm assuming is kind of, like, in the area of the Mediterranean. So it's appropriate that she doesn't have, like, full length clothes. So that was okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah, I liked it, yeah.
Though I loved,
and everything seemed
to I loved the blue dress. Like, if I was
yes,
going,
you did.
If
you
I was going to cosplay Wonder Woman, I would cosplay the blue dress.
The blue dress is awesome.
That was great. That was great. I saw that was pulled directly from a comic, and the woman that she takes the dress from is someone of importance in the comic, but I didn't know the story behind that. Yeah, I think there was a lot of those, like, little nods to different character arcs, but, you know, they don't have the time to go into all of it.
Yeah, I know nothing about the Wonder Woman comics.
Yeah, me neither. Nothing.
No, I know nothing, except that, I had the coolest Wonder Woman underoos when I was about 8, I think. But I was so disappointed it did not come with wristbands and a headband, so I made my own.
Well, did you guys see, I posted an article today of a friend of mine that wore the Wonder Woman. She has a Wonder Woman dress, and she wore it for a full week after she saw the movie.
Oh, I did see that.
Yes. That is awesome.
And, like, she had been posting on Facebook, like, you know, at what point should I stop wearing this dress? I don't want to ever stop wearing this dress. And no. I was like, you know, just, like, wash it and wear it again. Like,
yes,
but forever. I did see, like, when she posted that article, I was like, hot damn, you should never stop wearing that dress. You look like you were born to wear that dress.
And why should you stop? I mean, you know, if you were a kid, nobody would think twice if you were like, I want to wear this every day. You'd be like, right. Okay, go ahead, you know, wear your cowboy hat or wear your princess dress or whatever. But you know, as an adult, we have to be all, you know,
lame. So lame.
I know. we should get Wonder Woman pajamas or something. That would be okay.
That would be okay. Yeah.
I
want the wristbands. That's what I want. I want to wear those every day.
That was so great. I just absolutely loved the way they did that. The wristbands and, you know, the bullet stopping. It was just so, I don't know why, it just came off so powerful, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who to credit that. Is that I mean, obviously it's CGI. Nobody's really firing bullets at her. But some of the best CGI, honestly, that I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I went into that movie not thinking really much about it. I thought, well, this is going to be okay. And then it just moved me in all kind of ways. That's what I still can't get over. Like, I just was not prepared to feel all the feelings this movie made me feel.
That's a really powerful statement. That I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. I've never felt that way with a comic movie ever.
And then I read comments. Like, one girl, she commented on my post, and she's like, "It didn't make me feel anything at all." And I thought, oh, that's so sad.
That's
Oh wait, really, was that me?
No, wasn't you.
No. I didn't get overwhelmed with feelings, but that was mostly because I was in Newark in the middle of the night and, like, had been dealing with obnoxious people through the whole movie. And that's why I really need to go see it again. And I meant to this past weekend, but I didn't. So. Yeah.
No, you were busy taking in the Broadway?
Yes. Yes.
What did you end up seeing? What show did you see?
I saw 6 Degrees of Separation with Alice and Janney.
Anne-Marie and I
had tickets to this in a few weeks, and they ended the run early.
Oh.
So I was able to get tickets for like $45.
Excellent. Was it good? Did you like it?
I did.
Lovely.
It was enjoyable. Anne-Marie, did you have another conversation point?
Yeah, we need another point.
Well, going back to the feels, mm-hmm. I came out of it feeling like women should be in charge of everything.
Yeah.
You know, they should be in charge of making superhero movies. They should be in charge of starring in superhero movies. Yes. They should be in charge of war. They should be in charge of government. Should be in charge of, you know, sex theories and philosophies. Like, it just, the moments in the movie that were so touching to me were the moments after the battle scenes where mm-hmm. instead of just, you know, beating her chest and riding off in a blaze of glory like most superheroes, she looked around at what was on the ground around her.
Exactly. Her facial expressions.
Yeah.
She played that so well. Like, here she's come. She doesn't know. It is also new to her. She is naive in so many ways, but she's this warrior. And everything is so simple to her.
Yeah, so black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what the line is, but she says something like, "Why are people like this?"
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. I forgot about that part. Oh, that was, yes. Yeah. That was heartbreaking. My heart broke for her. And you know what? I wanted an answer to that question, too.
I still do. Like, on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And then the little moments where she's like, oh, a baby. Or,
oh, that was funny.
Ice cream.
Or ice cream. Ice cream was my favorite.
The ice cream. So evidently that ice cream thing was out of a Wonder Woman cartoon.
Oh, God.
Like, you should be proud.
You should be so proud of yourself.
I love her.
I was a little nervous in the trailer when I saw those moments, you know, when she's trying to assimilate into, you know, British life, and she's trying to get through the door with her giant sword, and Steve has to be like, oh, give me the sword, you know, and I was like, oh no. And then when I saw them do it in the full length movie, I thought they handled it in such like an adorable way that it didn't come off, you know, like pandering or, you know, it was, they had such a lovely chemistry, and like they both remained very respectful of their characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't any, like, I'm going to talk down to you because you're not from my world type of thing.
Yes. Yes. It was, yeah, it was perfect. It was. I was like, I don't know if I want them to do this. And then they fell, you know, they fall in love. And I don't know if I want them to do this love story. And then the love story works. It all just works.
I know, but then I was like, no, don't die.
Well, and that's what I was really, her reaction, I really want to see, like, the next stage, like, how she gets over Steve sacrificing
like, the next
himself.
80 years between World War One and present day where she's got an iPad.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually was a little tiny bit annoyed that there was, you know, in the book ending, the beginning and the end, references to Bruce Wayne. Because I was like, this is not your movie, Batman. Like, you go away. This is Wonder Woman's show. You know? Like, it's just like he set it in motion, you know?
Oh God, a lot of people were so annoyed by that, the whole photograph and delivering it on the armored truck, and people were annoyed by that, and like, that did not even bother me at all.
I don't know, I just felt like, I don't know, like Bruce Wayne had a hand in it, and I didn't even want him in it at all. I just wanted it to be her story completely.
Right, but I guess that's, they're building up for Justice League. I get it, and they're yeah. tie back to, you know, Batman versus Superman. So, and it was a good way to start her story, I guess. I mean, it just, you know, here's the picture. I'm gonna tell the story from the picture. Yeah. So,
right, and yeah, I like the possibilities that opens up for future movies. Like, oh, here's a different picture from, like, you know, the 20s. What happened then? So.
Exactly. Here you are at the Nissan hot dog eating contest. Like,
I want to see Wonder Woman in her flapper phase.
Exactly. Gorgeous.
And then Wonder Woman in like her poodle skirt phase. Like,
no, she would never wear something that wasn't practical. Although those stilettos at the end were kind of crazy. But yeah.
I don't know. I think the mascara just like trains the women to kick ass in heels.
Maybe.
Though, I mean, she was very practical about the training of horses and proper equitation. You just can't do in heels at all.
I see. I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's all about having your heels down. So, mm-hmm, like, right. if you're in a heels up position, it's even harder. I mean, I don't know. Cowboy boots are kind of like a heel. You just, your heel can still be there, but it muscles your legs in the wrong way.
Well, I know nothing about horses, so I'm glad you brought this up. How did you feel that they were doing with the handling of the horses and all that stuff?
I mean, I didn't know. I when there's horses in movies, I don't pay a lot of attention because I don't want to. It will take me out of things so quickly.
Right.
But I liked that she had that moment of, you know, where they're handling the horses and she's like, that's not the way to do it. That's not.
That's right, yeah.
Because there's. I mean, it just showed a little bit of her personality of, mm-hmm, you know, you don't beat animals yeah. into doing what you want them to do. And that showed a whole lot of her mindset and her training and her. And that's the thing, is it's not like ignorance, because it was very easy to look at her and mm-mm. be like, this is an ignorant character or this yeah. is a childlike character. But she actually knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, there was definitely like much more of a oneness with your environment, with the people around you, with, you know, everything. Much more of, you know, almost like an Eastern philosophy. And, you know, when she makes that reference with the horse, I felt like, you know, she was just much more in touch with everything than, you know, the traditional Western culture.
So I was home this weekend for Father's Day, and I was talking to my mother about Wonder Woman, and she asked me if I thought it would be appropriate for my nieces. So my nieces are 6, 9, and 12. Mm-hmm. So I think the 12-year-old, you know, it would be totally fine. She would totally get it. The 9-year-old probably would too. The 6-year-old would be like jumping up and down on her seat, screaming, yeah. you know, annoying everybody in the movie theater. But oddly, as we were talking about it, the 6-year-old and the 9-year-old were watching Moana. And I was like, Moana's kind of like the pre-Wonder Woman. You know, it's sort of a similar story of, you know, your ancestry and your heritage and what that means and becoming a warrior and going off to save the world, basically, in both cases. So I was like, we'll just leave the 6 and 9-year-old with Moana and we'll bring the 12-year-old to go see Wonder Woman.
Oh, and I thought yeah. they did a great job of making it mature yet safe for young audiences.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Because a lot of those movies, the violence bothers me. The violence for the sake of violence. You know, with these fight scenes that go on for 45 minutes where it's just crashing through building after building and, you know, using cars as weapons and, you know, throwing, I don't know, boats at people. It's just, it's just so numbing after a while. And this was just, there was so much emotion in everything, in every scene. And I thought that it made you understand, like, the consequence for the violence, you know, that there's a price to be paid.
Yep. And especially, like, some of the violence, I mean, like, spoilers, I mean, assume if you listen this far, you know there's spoilers. But when she stabs the guy on the roof at the end.
Yeah.
They never actually show it. And it was such a creative way to show that she did it, that it was over. And, you know, seeing the sword come through the ceiling, I thought that was a very... It meant a lot to me that they decided to show it that way.
I was actually wondering, you know, as this scene is building and you see what's going to happen. And in my head, I was thinking, she's going to pull back at the last second, you know, like classic good guy can't really go through with it all the way moment. And I was thrilled that she did it. And I, like you, I loved the way they shot that. But I really, really appreciated that it wasn't, you know, like, I can't do it type of moment.
Yeah, I found the fight scenes to be intense in a very different way. They weren't as bloody, they weren't as graphic, but I still, especially the No Man's Land scene, found that so, it would have scared me if I was a little kid, because it was so realistic to the idea of war.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, that was very accurate, I guess. I mean, I have not been in that situation, and I haven't even really studied it, but it looked very, very good, very well done.
So, Anne-Marie, did you have any more talking points?
You mentioned talking points once. The go-to person for all talking points.
Oh, you mentioned talking points, and I didn't plan for the podcast at all.
So, anybody been watching The Daily Show in the recent months or so of the Trevor Noah era? So he has a woman who's been contributing to The Daily Show named Michelle Wolf. And she did a bit on Wonder Woman that was really, really fantastic about sort of I can't think of the word I'm thinking of, but the idea that, you know, this had to be a successful movie because so much was riding on Patty Jenkins being successful. And if she wasn't, then they were never going to let a woman direct a huge blockbuster superhero movie again, despite the fact that men have been making crappy superhero movies forever. And she, you know, she just started going through. We've had 5 Spider-Man movies and 7 Batman movies and, you know, 6 Transformer movies. And she had the pictures all up on the screen. And at the end, she's like, this looks like the Netflix queue for Axe body spray. It made me laugh so hard. She's so, so funny. But what do you think would have happened if the movie had failed? What if nobody went to see it?
I just worry that even with a success, it's not going to change enough. I hope it does. I just worry. I mean, I don't know. Even when there's a success, and I know this isn't the greatest example because of the quality, but Twilight, Catherine Hardwick. I mean, you know, huge box office hit, and they took away the sequels from her. You know, it was like, oh, well, you know, it made more money than we thought, and it's probably capable of doing even more, so let's give it to a man to do the sequels.
And I mean, if it had flopped, I mean, these movies, the DC universe has not been, this is the first real success they've had, like, at least critically. Like, the other ones probably paid their bills. But this is the first one that, you know, of all of the DC movies. So I think if this had been a flop, the only saving grace for women in action films is that Marvel is making their female movie. You know, they have Captain Marvel coming up. And there would be another chance for the genre to prove. And, I mean, a DC movie flopping, meh, okay, I mean... And I mean, I could be saying this just because I'm a Marvel girl, but I mean, the DC movies flopping isn't new news. Like, they've been struggling in general.
They're struggling, but they still make like $500 million.
Right.
You know, like Suicide Squad, like, made all the money, and it's one of the shittiest movies like ever made ever.
Yeah. Hey, it won an Oscar. It is the Oscar winning Suicide Squad.
God, I can't believe it. As everyone likes to
point out.
So I don't even know what a failure would have been, because I think it would have made the money anyway. So I don't know what
I think if it had been Suicide Squad, I think if the critical attention had been the same as Suicide Squad, it would have been considered a failure, and it would have been held up as people don't want women superheroes.
I was really concerned that men, you know, boys and men or teenagers wouldn't come out to see it. But I was just so, I mean, so completely overjoyed when the numbers started to come in, and especially how it's been holding its place, you know, for the last 3 weeks. It's just, I'm glad. I was going to go see it no matter what, even if the reviews were horrible. But yeah. I'm so, so, so happy it did so well.
Yeah, I mean, I went to see it. I did see all the Batman movies. Like, I can't say I'm not a DC person, but I went to see it for two reasons. One, to support Patty Jenkins and the idea of a female superhero. And two, out of complete nostalgia for Linda Carter and my childhood. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't, that part of me wasn't apparent until I was going to see it. Like, I was going to see it to support Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot and the whole idea of a female superhero. As I was going to the theater, I couldn't stop thinking about Linda Carter and watching the show as a kid. And it was much more emotional to me than I thought it was going to be,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't carry that forward into my adult life. Like, I had the underoos and the armbands and the mm-hmm. you know, crown and everything. It were all about the same age. So it was, you know, that was the time. But I didn't move forward thinking, you know, I'm a Wonder Woman girl. I wasn't. But it came back to me very quickly, and it was very important to me as I was heading over to the theater.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry now.
Well, and it was funny because I went on Saturday night. I didn't go on opening night. I went on Saturday night though, and I went at like, I don't know, 7:30 on a Saturday night. Totally sold out. My theater now has reserved seating and recliners and fancy tables and stuff. So I'm less afraid to go to a sold out show because you know where you're sitting and everything's all organized because I like to be organized. But Saturday night, I don't even go to regular movies, like not opening weekend on Saturday night because of crowds. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be there. I wanted to see it that mm-hmm. weekend.
I was a little sad that my financial contribution wouldn't count on opening weekend because I wanted her to have such a great opening weekend. But, you know, I was there on Tuesday, but I know it's not the same, but still I was.
But it's making happy. News the way this movie is selling out. I mean, even for like the third weekend numbers, it's making headlines for the number of people.
Yeah, because when I went Saturday, we went Saturday at 4:00. And they had moved it, to a smaller theater, but it was still probably, there were still more people there to see Wonder Woman than mm-hmm. anything else, you know, third week, so.
Yeah, and I mean, is there anything strong up against it right now? Well, I know Cars is coming out very soon.
Cars, the Mummy was supposed to be really, you know, the big thing, and nobody cared.
They couldn't even make a good trailer for that movie. I mean, honestly, if you cannot cut a good trailer, it is just hopeless.
But it has Tom Cruise, and it has... I mean, I liked the trailer for The Mummy.
I like the... Wonder Woman, like, won out. Like,
yeah, if the reviews had come in better for The Mummy, I might have been interested in seeing it if I hadn't been so interested in seeing Wonder Woman again.
No, I can't see anything with Tom Cruise. I mean, they may as well just call any movie, you know, whatever, The Mummy or Mission Impossible, and then subtitle, he does his own stunt.
Oh, I love Tom Cruise. I'm a Tom Cruise fangirl.
No, that ship has sailed for me. It sailed into Scientology waters, and it's over.
Yeah, someone did say The Mummy is the worst movie Tom Cruise has made, which is saying something because he made Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh God! And the first Jack Reacher was pretty bad. I didn't like the first Jack Reacher, but so
I don't know the last time I actually voluntarily saw a Tom Cruise movie. It may have been like Mission Impossible 3 or something. It's been a while. He's Tom Cruise. He's always Tom Cruise in his movies.
But he usually draws a crowd. I mean, there's a reason he's Tom Cruise. So for that movie to sort of get pushed out by Wonder Woman is noteworthy.
Yes, definitely. I know, because before this, who's Gal Gadot? You know, I mean, not a name by any means. And
And it's what a rip. Gadot. Isn't it? Gadot?
I thought it
was. Yeah.
Gadot. Okay.
I think it is.
Pardonnez-moi. I did not know that.
No, it was. I only knew it because there was something like.
Didn't you put up the little YouTube thing about how to say it? Somebody did. Yes.
Yeah, there was like a YouTube video on how to pronounce her name.
Of her saying her name? Yeah.
And it was weird.
Okay. Well, she's. I think she's Israeli, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's okay, what, yeah. like, I think that was a huge move to me yeah. to have an Israeli actress be Wonder Woman.
And also that she's married with, well, at the time she only had one child, but now two children. Like, I mean, I appreciate that, you know.
She was like 5 months pregnant mm-hmm. filming some of the scenes, so.
Yeah, it was for the reshoots. The reshoots had to be done mm-hmm. a little later, and she was pregnant. But, you know, so many times I think they push these movies based on the, you know, the actor's personal life. You know, like the person's young and single and hot and all these things. And, you know, she's married with children, and it didn't seem to make any difference in her casting. And mm-hmm. I'm very happy to see that.
And evidently that pushed the box office in Israel. Like, they were very excited.
Oh, good.
To see a local, you know, a Israeli actress leading a big film.
That's great. I mean, I can't even imagine what, you know, how big that must be for her. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a sequel, and, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I saw a couple interviews with her, and she seems like a lovely person.
Yeah. Fox News didn't think it was American enough, though.
What?
The whole thing.
Lord.
Yeah, they didn't think her costume was American enough because it wasn't red, white, and blue. It was gold and, you know, subdued hues. I don't think they understand that Wonder Woman's not from America. So, I don't know. But they were all offended in that fabulous Fox News.
I mean, really, like, what did they want? Like, Linda Carter's, like, high-waisted bloomers with the white stars on them? Like, this woman is a warrior.
from an island that's not in America.
Exactly. I mean, oh, that's so embarrassing. That's just
it
so
is.
Embarrassing. You know, I worry for the country.
But wasn't she? I mean, wasn't her origin in the comics to, like, help America in World War II or something?
Yes, that's actually true. And they moved it to World War I to align better with, I guess, the story that they chose to tell, this particular.
Right, you know, right. How but they, as far as her being patriotic, I mean, her original costume was, like, Stars and Stripes, which is weird because her origin was always that she was from the Mascara.
Yeah, that's right.
But
that's
a good I mean, point. She was helping America in this case as well, since Steve Trevor was American, but
yeah.
I think this movie, as it should, didn't make America the only hero in yeah. World War I.
Oh, I've seen one, like, hilarious ultra-conservative bashing of the movie.
Yeah, I know, like, you really have to go far to find fault with this one.
Well, and it was, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of just, like, bash. I mean, I legit have at least one person I grew up with, a woman, you know, we went to elementary, middle, and high school together, that feels that mm-hmm. the problem with America is that not enough women turn to men to make their decisions.
What?
I am not. What? And like, I've had this conversation with a friend of mine about, like, no, she seriously, I mean, that's an ultra conservative view, but she was raised. And I remember, like, growing up together, it just being kind of weird. Like, her parents seemed to treat her brother completely differently than her. But at the time, you know, I had lots of friends that were, like, middle child or youngest child or something. And so that wasn't uncommon, you know? The older brother gets treated differently than the little sister. But now, like, seeing her views as an adult, what that shaped her into is she is a person that genuinely was raised to believe that you default to men, and here in the 21st century, you default to men to lead. And so there are legitimately people that think this movie is 100 different shades of wrong.
Oh my god. See, I don't even know where to begin. And I just worry that there's too many of them out there, you know, to combat that with, oh god, it's just exhausting.
I mean, and it's something, I mean, my mom evidently was very aware of it where I grew up and in the society, and, like, did a really good job of shielding me from that type of thing while letting me still, like, be friends with folks that were being raised that, I mean, I guess it's like, because I had no clue. I always remember my mom saying, like, hey, they just said something about only men being able to have a role in the church, But, you know, yeah. I want you to keep an eye on your grandmother's church. There are women priests, you know. There, yeah. But
it's very Handmaid's Tale. Yeah. The last episode of The Handmaid's Tale of season one was last week, and there's this amazing scene with the main married couple on the show, and she's mad at him for doing something awful, and she's like, "You answer to God," and his response is, "And you answer to me."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awful.
That is so awful and yet so prevalent, you know, that our soon-to-be president, Mike Pence, believes that. You know, I mean, he can't even be in a room with an unmarried woman or a woman at all, or, I don't know. We should ask him, like, how do you feel about trans women? Are they okay, Mike?
No, they're not.
Apparently one of the Duggars, I've lost track of them all, but one of the Duggars got married, and on her Facebook page was her transfer of authority.
Oh my god.
Where it transfers from her father to her new husband.
Because she's chattel.
Yeah. Oh my god. That
disgusting. Those, America.
Those Duggars, I just can't even. As my 15-year-old would say, I just can't even with that.
Oh, terrifying. Man. And one of the actresses on The Handmaid's Tale has been, you know, interviewed by everyone and their cousin. Everyone wants to talk about The Handmaid's Tale. And she keeps talking about how prevalent it is and how timely it is and how scary it is that it is so. And she's getting, you know, so much hate from conservative fans who are like, "You don't know what you're talking about. You know, what freedoms are you losing?" You know,
that sickens me. It's like women are going to voluntarily lose their power. They're going to hand it over. Things that, I mean, in my grandmother's lifetime, she did not have the right to vote. And I mean, we are just going to hand it right back if we keep this up.
So, Themyscira. The women definitely have the power. They don't even need men to orgasm.
Let's go there.
That was pretty great. I know. Like, it's not necessary. It's not even really desired. We really don't need you. As with most things, we got this. We can do it better by ourselves.
So does Zeus just, like, come down to Themyscira occasionally and impregnate somebody? Or...
You know, that was an unanswered question. How did she come to be? You know, if she wasn't made of clay. And I mean, don't you ever question that about yourself? Like, okay, Mom, you said I was made of clay, and then what? Like, then what? Like, you found me and I was alive?
No, my parents were in Germany. there was a concert in never mind. Like, I've always known from where I came.
No great mystery.
My dad sent me, like, yeah, no. My dad, very funnily, like, we were looking at concert. I don't remember what it was, but he found a website where he found old concert photos, and he found, like, the concert poster. And he was like,
"Oh no,
go and Google it. This concert was, like, where the big Nazi, I can't remember the name of the venue, but it's the same, like, there's a Nazi rally where Hitler is there and the swastika is above him, and it's like a very recognizable place." Mm-hmm. And after World War II, they took down all the Nazi paraphernalia and it became like a concert venue. And he's like, "And I think that might have been the night." And I'm like, "Dad, I really did not need all of that information."
Oh, that's just an image you're going to have forever.
But I was never under the impression I was sculpted from clay.
Ever. Yeah, I don't think I would have continued with that past the age of like 9 or 10. I would have been like, "There's more to that story."
But if you had never seen a man ever,
right? Or were there even other children? I feel like she was.
Yes, there was something up about that. She was the only child.
Yeah. So
she was so cute too. Baby Diana was so cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Baby Diana needs to hang out with a little girl from Logan.
Oh, I loved her. I loved her.
They could be superior little girls.
That would be great. I know. I loved Diana's training. I love that speech where her mother says, you know, 5 times harder, 10 times harder. you know, until she can beat you. I mean, and then she must never know. Like, it was, mm-hmm. I loved the delivery on that. It was perfect.
Yeah, and I loved really little Diana watching and, like, yeah. mimicking the actions. Yes. I could so see my nieces doing that. Like, that's, you know, such a little girl thing to do and so sweet and accurate.
Yeah, and I liked how, you know, you saw all the training, and then when you see her fight, you see all the training that she went through come through in all the fights, all the battles that she fights. You're like, ah, there's that. It's awesome. So cool.
And I have to say, I was so happy to see it circle back, but I did not see it coming where Steve would call out SHIELD and they would
yes!
I was like, oh, I had chills. I was like, oh, yeah, I loved that. Because that move was, you know, considering how many superhero movies there are, you feel like you've kind of seen all the moves that a person could possibly have. But this was a good one. That was a new one.
Yeah, and those fight scenes were amazing. You know, Shelby, you touched on it early. The beach scene was amazing. And those women were all, you know, real athletes and
mm-hmm.
well-trained fighters. And they trained them for a long time to get those moves to be organic and to look that mm-hmm. amazing. It was, I couldn't get over it. I thought it was fantastic.
I did see where people were talking about the last big fight, how that took them out of the movie a little bit, that it seemed very Zack Snyder-y, the mm-hmm. last scene compared to the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I guess that would be my only slight little gripe with the movie, is that maybe went on just a little too long.
Up in the tower, you mean?
No, like no, the crescendo the, no, walking the through the fire.
Ares, the fight with Ares at the end.
Oh, right. Yeah. I agree with you there. It did seem to. Yeah.
Just that was a little bit. Just a little bit too long. Just went on a little bit too long, but, you know.
That was fine. The one moment where I was like, I wonder if this is all for the 3D part. Like, I really wondered if there were a lot of effects that they, like, wanted to get right. in for the 3D.
Yeah, because there was a lot of, like, flying metal at that point. Like, metal was moving and yeah. shit and stuff.
And I wasn't, I mean, I don't remember it being anything special because of the 3D. You know, I remember there was lots of fire and there was her walking through and there was stuff, but it wasn't anything like Yondu's arrow coming at me or SpongeBob SquarePants hitting a little ball at me. My first 3D experience was traumatizing, and it was SpongeBob SquarePants. And, like, my cousin was mocking me for, like, blocking things coming at me, and I still haven't, like, been in a 3D experience that was so real.
That's funny.
But I guess, though, I will take the fight with Ares at the end and the walking through fire, because you have to have all that for her to get to her point where she makes her speech about humans are worth it. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
And it was it was the moment she, you know, really, like, assumes her full power, that yes. she is the yes. god killer, you know, yes. and makes that transition. Like, it, yeah, you did need that, but I do, yeah, you're right. I do agree. Maybe just a tad, I don't know, almost like too superhero movie-ish at the end, but just a tiny bit. I don't
just,
even
yeah, want... just a tiny bit, because you know Steve tells her, because I was worried, I knew Steve was gonna die. Spoilers. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I was like, he's either gonna die or she's gonna outlive him. It's gonna be tragic one way or the other.
But, yeah, I'm thinking of solutions. I'm like, well, what if he goes and lives with her on the island? Will he age? It'll be okay.
I was like, he's gonna sacrifice himself. And then, you know, at first when she's deaf and she can't hear him because of the explosion, you know, and she can't hear him. And I was like, oh my god, I'm not gonna feel the feels here. It's not gonna, like, drag the emotion out of me that I wanted. And then it goes back and it shows you, you know, you get to hear what he said to her. Yeah. Oh my god, Steve Trevor's gonna die.
I know, that was great. And I thought that Chris Pine did such a good job of, like, being this noble, self-sacrificing hero. And then at the last minute, he's kind of like, oh shit. Like, what did he do?
Well, he was like, you know, I love, he tells me, you know, I can save today. You can save the world.
That was great.
Ah, god, Chris.
I know. That was really good. He's really good in interviews, too. You know, when he talks about why this is such a different story, he says it's love. You know, she does for love. And he was actually mocking, I think, I forget what the next superhero movie is slated to come out, but he said the name is actually The Never-Ending War. He's like, it's war for the sake of war. It's just war after war after war. And you know, this is, there is a point. There is an end game. There is a goal. It's not just, you know, who's got the better explosions. It's like, this is all for a purpose.
Yeah. It's, what is it that he says? It's not about what we deserve. It's about what we believe.
It was, very nice. Very nice.
You know who we haven't talked about is Etta. I loved Etta so much.
Yes.
She's fantastic.
Wait,
and
who's Etta? The secretary?
Yes, but she's not just a secretary. She, like, really saves the war.
Yeah, she's like a secretary. Sorry, spy.
I couldn't figure out who it was for a second. I didn't mean just a secretary.
Yeah, she's fantastic, and that actress was great.
Yeah, she was so funny.
Love her.
I love when she's holding the sword. Just yes. Like standing outside the store with the sword.
It was so cute.
And I love the little pretty woman moments with the wardrobe, you know, trying on the costumes. That was good.
Yes, and the glasses. That's like supposedly like a nod to
absolutely. Superman. When she had the outfit, I was like, oh, Linda Carter. Like, it was, I mean, I have to confess, I watched a lot of Wonder Woman along with, you know, the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman.
Yep.
I actually
Incredible Hulk.
Charlie's Angels for the storylines. I didn't even understand when I was little that it was, you know, jiggle television. I was like, this is the greatest, you know, mystery show. But I love this kind of stuff, and I didn't realize it was super campy at the time. But
everything was super campy at that time.
I know. It's like, I think everything was super campy.
Yeah. Yeah, unintentionally, because the budget was about, I don't know, $150.
Yeah, I was going to say like $8 an episode or something.
It is great when she's trying on all those clothes that she complains about them because she can't fight in them. Like, how do you kick in this skirt? And yes!
I ask myself that every day.
Yep.
No, that was great. I loved it. I'm trying to remember some of the other outfits. I know there was the humor was really well done, too. I mean, there was just these perfect little droplets of humor scattered throughout to, you know, the over-seriousness. And, you know, it just, I don't know. And I don't know if I think I said this on Twitter, but I did read that the entire scene in the boat was improv.
That
was
I think I read that, too. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
The entire scene? I never clicked on the click, but I saw the headline. It was the
I'm sure there were, you know, prompts or something, but I do think they just basically let them go. They just let them do it.
But she came up with that, like, women don't need men for pleasure thing. That just seems
perfectly
scripted.
I think there was, like, here's your topic, talk amongst yourself kind of moment, you know?
I mean, I can see, like, I'm actually looking it up right now, but I can see, like, the awkwardness of them sleeping together and her being like, I'm like, can't we just sleep together? Like, what the hell? Yeah, and I love that because that was such a maturity thing. Like, two grown-ass adults, not only can they have dinner together and not, you know, do anything improper, they can sleep in the same place and not do anything improper, and it doesn't make either of them gay or uninteresting or anything like that. It's just
Mike Pence is rolling over in his cryogenic coffin right now.
Mike Pence can suck my tit.
I have actually slept with tons of women just by being in the same room with them.
Yes,
it ups his street cred.
They just want it. He can't help it. I mean, you know, if Anderson Cooper's the silver fox, then he is, well, I don't know, some other kind of fox, but women just want him, I guess. You know, they can't stop themselves.
Oh, boy.
I am not impressed.
I'm looking at this article that had that headline, and I can't
find... Yeah, I don't know how much they actually helped them or what, but I do know it was some improv in there, for sure.
Okay. Now, they seem to have good chemistry. Their interviews were fun, and, you know, they seem to get along, and
they improvised the whole thing.
Wow. That's impressive.
Damn. give them an Oscar. God.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think either one of them are really known for their comedy, so that's actually even doubly impressive.
Have you guys read Joss Whedon's Wonder Woman script that's supposedly going around today?
No.
Yeah. I haven't either, but I've heard it's horrible, terrible.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? He's got a script, like an old script?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't
like, he took a stab at it first, kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love his stuff. I don't
2007, Whedon gave his own swing at Wonder Woman when he pulled a script together for the heroine. Never panned out, but anyway, now it's apparently all over the internet.
He writes at strong women, too. I can't imagine him, you know, blowing it that badly.
He's had a lot of criticism for how he wrote women. Like, he's responsible for Black Widow in the MCU. And
oh, okay. Like, I'm like the hugest Buffy fan, though.
Yeah. So, well, I don't think our fourth guest is going to make it.
I don't think she's going to make it either. Well,
we can do a follow-up with her one day.
Right, I was going to say, see if she's able to come back and, you know, talk for a few minutes. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we can always talk about Wonder Woman again. I'll go see it again and talk about it some more.
Yeah, I'm going to see it again this weekend. So
I think I'm going to, too. I'm going to try to sneak away.
Yay! It's so good!
Okay.
All right, girls.
Well, this has been fun.
I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for inviting me. This was lovely.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Ree. Thanks, Shelby.
Yeah, we'll do it again. We'll come up with something else to talk about. I'm sure we'll talk about Defenders or something.
I have some serious work to do before I'm allowed to talk about Defenders. I have some catching up to do.
What the hell?
I know. I'm so behind. But I'm getting there.
Chris had put off her Netflix binging for when she had a flu this winter, and evidently she didn't get sick enough.
I was just sick. You know what? What did I just binge watch? Oh, something else. But I know. I know. I'm so bad. I did finish Jessica Jones, so I'm getting there.
I think you'll be okay. I don't think you have to watch Luke Cage or Iron Fist to enjoy The Defenders. As long as you know Daredevil. That's all that matters.
I do. Yeah, that one I'm good on. Except I sometimes skip ahead on the action. So I'll go back.
I think there's a lot of world bending building in Iron Fist that's going to be important for the Defenders.
Okay. True. I'll backtrack.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
You need to see Claire Temple flirt with everybody before the Defenders for it to all make sense.
Six weeks.
Spoiler alert, by Iron Fist, she's just not taking any of their shit.
Who do I want her to end up with, Shelby?
Yeah, like who's your number one?
Wait, so, I'm Claire.
Oh, Claire?
Oh. Yeah. So I'm torn right now because I'm reading the current Jessica Jones comic. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much in a Jessica and Luke mindset in the comic, but I'm really a Jessica. I really want Jessica and Matt together. So I don't care if Claire's with Luke, but I do care. So I'm torn. It depends on whether I'm watching or reading. Because right now I want Jessica and Luke and their little baby to be a little family. But.
Yeah, I don't want Claire with anybody. I want Claire to not need a man and just be like the badass she is, and that's what I want.
As long as she can still be there, I feel like she has to be like kissing somebody to show up, and that drives me kind of nuts. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't like the way they've kind of.
I love Rosario Dawson so much. I think she's so unbelievably good in Daredevil. Like, her little nuances. I mean, I just was rewatching the other day when she lets out that cry at the taxi company after.
Yeah.
That is so accurate for how people react that it just stuns me. I just feel like she should have gotten some sort of Emmy for that.
Well, watch her in Iron Fist, because they give her some pretty, like, cheesy lines and shit that she has to deliver. Or Luke Cage, too. They give her some pretty, like, shitty stuff that she has to, like, say.
Oh, no.
But she gets to go to Georgia, Shelby.
Oh, God. No.
And China.
And fake China.
Which both but I look love a her. Lot like Staten Island.
Yeah, it looks like a warehouse. And a farmhouse. We'll do this again.
Yes, definitely.
Maybe we'll all go see Spider-Man and do it for Spider-Man.
No,
I'm not seeing Spider-Man.
Uh-uh. Rihanna has to see Spider-Man for me first. We've already made a pledge.
That's right. And it's the weekend we're hanging out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but I'll probably go see it on Thursday.
Oh, that's good. Then you can tell me when I see you on Friday. Yeah. How many actual spiders are in Spider-Man?
Oh, Jesus. Go see it.
I think it's just the one.
Okay, girls.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.